There's a story in 2 Samuel chapter 20, and in this chapter, there's an unlikely hero. It's not King David or one of his generals. It's not some city official or politician or city elder. The hero of the story that we're going to look at from 2 Kings chapter 20 happens to be a woman, and the Bible calls her a wise woman. So let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 20, verse 1. And it said, "And there happened to be there a man of Belial, whose name was Sheba, the son of Bichri, a Benjamite. And he blew a trumpet and said, 'We have no part in David, neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse. Every man to his tents, O Israel.'" Let's pray. God, we thank you for this gathering, the time of worship and ministry. Just your presence that's here, Lord, reaching out and blessing each and every person in the sound of my voice. I thank you, Lord, for everyone here today at Trinity Church on this campus, in Trinity Central, those in the chapel venue, those that are tuning in, watching live video streaming. I thank you that your spirit is reaching out to each and every person, and that, Lord, you have something to say and speak into our lives, and we are willing, ready, and open to receive it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. The story begins here in 2 Samuel 20 before the wise woman is introduced. And it begins with a guy by the name of Sheba. Now, Sheba was a troublemaker. Sheba was leading a rebellion against the legitimate established authority of God in the land, which happened to be David. He was God's man appointed by God to be king. Sheba thought he would be a better king. And Sheba was leading a rebellion against David. And in this chapter, King David, in his own words, he warns his closest officials that Sheba's coup, Sheba's rebellion, was a greater threat than that of his son Absalom, who Absalom ended up being killed in battle. During that rebellion, David had to flee Jerusalem, flee the throne, and was on the run. But this was going to be that much more serious. And Sheba, he rose up in defiance of God's established authority. You know, all rebellion has a source. Sheba was a rebel. All rebellion has a source, and the source of all rebellion is Lucifer himself. Thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago, Lucifer led a rebellion in heaven. One third of the angels followed him, and the Bible says they were cast to the earth. Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, "I beheld Satan fall like lightning to the earth." God squelched that rebellion against his eternal throne. So all rebellion has a source. Sheba's rebellion, the source of it was Lucifer himself. You know, it's interesting, the Bible compares rebellion to the sin of witchcraft. And Sheba was leading this rebellion. Now here's what's interesting. In this story, in the verse that we read, Sheba is referred to as a man of Belial, which means a child of the devil. He had a physical ancestry, son of Bichri, but he also had a spiritual ancestry. You see, all of us have a physical ancestry. Your father, your grandfather, your great-grandfather, your ancestry on your father's side and your mother's side that can be traced back to the point of origin. But everyone also has a spiritual ancestry. Someone the other day asked me, "Are all people God's children?" I said, "Absolutely not. All people are not God's children. All people can become God's children, but not all people are God's children." In John 8:44, Jesus told a group of religious leaders, he said, "You are of your father, the devil." You see, there are two spiritual descendants through which we can descend from. The Bible talks about righteous Abel, and then the Bible talks about wicked Cain. There are descendants of Cain in this world, and there are descendants of righteous Abel, those that have a spiritual heritage and a spiritual ancestry. There was a time in my life that my father was the devil. God's the creator of all people, and the image of God is in every human being, but it isn't until we surrender our life to Jesus and we're born again that we change kingdoms, we change kings, we change fathers, and we leave the God of this world, small case g, and we surrender our lives to the true and living God. How many of you are thankful that your spiritual ancestry traces all the way back to the true and living God, that he's now your father through Christ? So Sheba was leading this rebellion. He was a son of the devil. And we see that the spirit of Sheba, the spirit of rebellion, is still in the earth today. Just like Sheba wanted to undermine the legitimate, rightful king in the land, David, the spirit of Sheba, the spirit of rebellion in the world today, the spirit of rebellion in America today, is wanting to undermine the legitimate right of Christ to be the king over your life. Christ to be seated on the throne of your heart. And we see this rebellion in America. It mirrors the rebellion of Sheba wanting to remove the vestiges of our Christian faith here in America. There's the Sheba of Hollywood and the dishonest media that continues to foster a rebellion against all that is decent and all that is noble and all that is honorable. There's the Sheba of godless religion and politics that promotes the dismantling of the traditional family. There is the spirit of Sheba in gambling that robs families of their daily bread and children of their future inheritance. There's the Sheba of drunkenness and illegal drugs. There's the Sheba of sexual immorality and pornography that upends the holy commands of a holy God. Sheba that was in rebellion against David is the same spirit that's in rebellion against the lordship of Christ over your life and over my life. I've entitled the message today, Don't Lose Your Head. Now, Sheba was being pursued by David and one of his generals and David's special forces under the command of Joab. Sheba flees to a city called Abel, and he takes refuge in the city of Abel. Joab brings these special forces against the city, and that's where our story picks up. In 2 Samuel chapter 20, verse 15, all the troops with Joab began and besieged Sheba in Abel, Beth Maacah. They built a siege ramp up to the city, and it stood against the outer fortification. While they were battering the wall to bring it down, a wise woman called from the city, "Listen, listen, tell Joab to come here so I can speak to him." He went toward her, and she asked, "Are you Joab?" "I am," he answered. And she said, "Listen to what your servant has to say." "I'm listening," he said. She continued, "Long ago they used to say, 'Get your answer at Abel,' and that settled it. We are the peaceful and faithful in Israel, and you're trying to destroy a city that is a mother in Israel. Why do you want to swallow up the Lord's inheritance?" "Far be it from me," Joab replied. "Far be it from me to swallow up or destroy." That is not the case. A man named Sheba, son of Bichri, from the hill country of Ephraim, has lifted up his hand against the king, against David. "Hand over this one man, and I'll withdraw from the city." The woman said to Joab, "His head will be thrown to you from the wall." Then the woman went to all the people with her wise advice, and they cut off the head of Sheba, son of Bichri, and threw it to Joab. So he sounded the trumpet, and his men dispersed from the city, each returning to his home, and Joab went back to the king in Jerusalem. A wise woman, one unnamed wise woman. We don't know if she was married. We don't know if she had children. But here's what we know. The Bible describes her as a wise woman. And why was she a wise woman? She came to the rescue of her city. I declare that we need more wise women in our cities, in our country, and throughout the world. Women who rise to the occasion. You see, a wise woman is a woman who is willing to rise to the occasion and bring forth the wisdom of God that ultimately, in this story, saved an entire city. Now think about what was happening. Abel was harboring a fugitive, a rebel, by the name of Sheba. You know, sometimes if we're not careful, in our country, in our cities, in our communities, in our homes, in our dorms, in our computers, on our phones, in our own hearts, we can harbor a spiritual fugitive, a spiritual Sheba, who comes with a spirit of rebellion, wanting to undermine God's purpose, God's plan, and God's destiny for your life and my life. We need to make sure that we're not allowing Sheba to come into our lives, our marriages, our families, and take up residence. Because with Sheba will come a host of problems in our life. This city was experiencing a major crisis because of one man that they had allowed in their city. Joab and his special forces had besieged the city, and they were using a battering ram to knock down that wall. And they were pounding against the wall and pounding against the wall, and a wise woman realized what was about to happen. An entire city potentially could be destroyed if someone didn't act. And thank God that this woman was willing, because she was a wise woman. She was willing to act in the best interests of the city, on behalf of the city. You know, the enemy has besieged our country. The enemy has besieged our marriages, our families, our homes. And he's taking the battering ram of sin, and he's been pounding for a generation. He's been pounding against the wall of morality, against the wall of common sense, against the wall of God's holy commands, against the wall of prayer in public schools, against the wall of decency in public schools, against the wall of God's holy commands in public schools. And one after another, these walls have been crumbling. And what we need is we need some wise women who will be willing to rise up and save our cities and save our country. That's what makes this woman in this story so amazing. When nobody else was stepping up, apparently the men weren't stepping up. They were preparing for what they thought was the inevitable, to go to battle with the forces of Joab. But this wise woman, she rose up. And my question is, what made this woman a wise woman? Three things: her character, her counsel, and her commitment. Let's look at the first one. This woman was wise because of her character. Once again, in verse 16, it says, "But a wise woman in the town called out to Joab." And what did she say? "Listen to me, Joab. Come over here so I can talk to you." This woman had character. This woman had wisdom. This woman understood that if she could get to the main guy, Joab, and that's what she did. If she could get to the guy that's in charge, Joab happened to be the guy that was in charge, she could speak to him. She had the character to be able to speak to him in a respectful way. You see, Joab wasn't a very good guy. Joab was a bloodthirsty murderer. You see, Joab was a man that not only killed in battle, which is justifiable, but he killed outside of battle, which made him a murderer. He actually shed innocent blood. Matter of fact, in this entire chapter, this story, Joab wasn't the general that David had sent on this assignment. He murdered the general that was really supposed to go. But eventually Joab was going to get, and he did get, what was coming to him. So Joab was a ruthless, bloodthirsty killer. And yet, this woman had the character, had the courage to approach him, to call out to him, and to negotiate with him. She was a wise woman because she had the character to know what to say and how to say it in a respectful way. You know, it's no coincidence that in the book of Proverbs, wisdom is personified as a woman. There are actually two women that are contrasted in the book of wisdom, the book of Proverbs. There's Lady Wisdom and there's Lady Folly. And they both do the same thing. Lady Wisdom stands on the street corner and she cries out to those that are passing by, if anyone will listen to her. But also in the book of Proverbs, Lady Folly stands at the street corner and she also cries out to all those that will listen to her. Success in life is all determined on which woman are you listening to, Lady Wisdom or Lady Folly. There are a lot of wicked women in our world today, but there are also many wise women in our world today. And if we're going to be a wise man or a wise person, we need to make sure, like Joab, that we're listening to Lady Wisdom as she's calling out to us. On three separate occasions in the verses that we read, this woman, this wise woman said, "Listen, listen, listen." And I know from a very young age, when I surrendered my life to Christ, I could hear Lady Wisdom calling out to me, "Listen, listen, listen." And I've always strived to listen, not to Lady Folly, but to Lady Wisdom in my life. You know, somewhat unusual that wisdom is personified as a woman in the book of Proverbs versus a man. There's some Hebrew grammatical reasons why wisdom is personified as a woman, but there are also some really practical reasons. Did you know that in scientific studies, they've shown that people generally find a woman's voice more pleasing than a man's? Sorry, you have to hear me preach today, moms. Stanford University professor said, "It's much easier to find a female voice that everyone likes than a male voice that everyone likes." And they've discovered a well-established phenomenon that the human brain is developed to like female voices. I don't use Siri very often, but when I do, I'm glad it's not some gruff, rough man's voice, or I would shut it down. Amen. You know, whenever you get on OnStar or you call and they put you on hold, if it's a pleasant woman's voice, I'm a little bit more agreeable than if it's a guy's voice. You see, there's wisdom. Lady Wisdom is personified. Wisdom is personified as a woman. You know, research has shown that infants in their mother's womb, they've discovered that they react to the sound of their mother's voice. They recognize their mother's voice over any other voice, and they respond positively to their mother's voice. Can we give it up for mom's voice? Praise God. In Proverbs 1:20, it says, "Lady Wisdom goes out in the street and shouts." Proverbs 2:10, "Lady Wisdom will be your close friend if you'll allow her to be." Proverbs 3:13 says, "You're blessed when you meet Lady Wisdom." Proverbs 8:1 says, "Do you hear Lady Wisdom calling out to you?" Thank God, as ruthless and cruel and godless as Joab was, and he was, thank God on this particular day, in this particular crisis, he listened to the voice of wisdom. He listened to Lady Wisdom calling out to him. You know, the question is, what is wisdom? They say that knowledge is the acquiring of facts, but wisdom is the application of those facts. You can have all sorts of knowledge. You can have all sorts of degrees, but not have wisdom. Common sense, knowing how to apply what you have learned. You know, God can give you a spirit of wisdom in revelation, the knowledge of his Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible says, if any lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and he'll give you his wisdom freely. You can have not only knowledge is wonderful. Acquire as much knowledge as you possibly can. Never stop learning and never stop growing. But knowledge without the wisdom of God will simply make you an educated devil. And we have enough educated devils running around in the world today. We need wise women and we need wise men who have wisdom that's from above, not earthly, not sensual, not devilish, but wisdom that comes from God. Can we thank the Lord for wisdom that comes from above? A store owner was offering some advice to a young teenage employee that he had just hired. And he said, "My boy, wisdom and integrity are essential in retail business." And the boy said, "Well, what's the difference?" And the wise owner said, "Integrity is this, that if you give your word and you make a promise to a customer, you keep that promise even if it costs us money." He said, "Well, what's wisdom?" He said, "Wisdom is never making a stupid promise." Yeah. So the question is, what is wisdom? In this story, in 2 Samuel 20, wisdom is a man listening to a woman. Oh, ladies, I'm doing everything I can to help you out today. I need some love in return. And that was a really, really big moment and opportunity. You see, every man in here knows. Before he's married, how many times in your life you said to yourself, I should have listened to my mother. And then a wise man is a man that after he gets married, he learns to listen to his wife. The times that we got off course are the times we didn't listen to our wife. And I know. We know deep down our wives are right. But our ego and our pride won't allow us to admit that our wives are right. But how many know, guys, it'll be much better off if when Lady Wisdom speaks, we listen with an open heart and we follow godly advice. Come on now. A city under siege. Apparently the men were doing nothing. But the Bible refers to this woman as a wise woman. What made her a wise woman? Her character. She was willing to go to the source. She was willing to call out to Joab. Maybe, just maybe, he'll listen to her. And he did. Because of the way she approached. Because of how she approached. Because of the words she selected. There's a lot of wisdom in that. You know, I've always believed that if you want to get something done, hire a woman. Once again, ladies, you had a chance there to affirm a very true statement. And there was silence. What's that silence about? You know, yesterday, my wife and I, we went to our TCS campus on the university, our school. And we celebrated Marilyn Garrett, who has been in Christian education for 30 years. She is a phenomenal woman. She is a wise woman. And she is on the Mount Rushmore of Trinity Christian School. You would have a woman by the name of Joyce Heron on there. You would have another woman now by the name of Marilyn Garrett on there. And we're trying to look for a man that we would put on there. Amen. There's just something about hand something over to a woman and she'll get it done. You know, maybe there is a wise woman that will one day be elected president of the United States of America who's not Lady Folly, but Lady Wisdom, and who has the wisdom of God. This woman was a wise woman because of her character. Number two, she was a wise woman because of her counsel. Look at verse 18 once again. It says that she continued, and she said, long ago, they used to say, get your answer at Abel. Now, the city of Abel, this word Abel means to split the difference, to divide. That's what the word means. So it's no coincidence that this city called Abel was a place where matters could be settled. You had a problem? Go to Abel. You need to make a decision? Go to Abel. You needed counsel? Go to Abel. You needed something taken care of? Go to Abel. That's what that city was known for. You know, many cities are known for something. There's a character, there's an essence, there's a spirit to a city. I think Las Vegas is known for the world's greatest gymnast or... No, I got that confused with another city. Hershey, Pennsylvania is known for what? That wasn't a trick question. That was the easiest one I could have... I threw you a softball, amen. Certain cities are known for certain things. This city was known as a city that could settle matters. You know what wisdom does? Wisdom not only has character, but wisdom receives counsel. So many times we fail in life because we don't have godly wisdom, godly counsel. The Bible says in a multitude of counselors there's safety. Not in a multitude of fools, but in a multitude of godly, wise counsel, there's safety. You know, in business literature, they've proven that usually 60%+ of decisions that businesses make are proven to be wrong decisions. The best among us, half of every decision you make will be the wrong decision. You think it's the right decision initially, but it will prove to be the wrong decision. You know, making right choices in life and making right decisions in life, it's critical. Your life today and your life in the future is the sum total of the choices and the decisions that you've made. And that's why it's so very important, young people, before you make major decisions in life, that you pray, you seek God, you seek the counsel, the heart of God, the leading of the Holy Spirit, but you also search out godly men and godly women who are usually older than you. They're usually going to be older than you. That can not tell you what to do, but speak the wisdom of God into your life, because the decisions that you make are critical and are crucial, and you want to make the right decisions. There are many problems in our life that could be solved and could have been solved when they started out small. Small problems become big problems when we don't settle them when they're small. How many marriages end up in a ditch because a small problem that wasn't settled continued to fester until it became a big problem, and now something that was small is now big. You know, if you take care of that little knocking sound that you hear in your car before it becomes something major. My vehicle, I was driving the other day, and it was making this squeaking sound, like a chirping sound. I go, is there a bird in my engine? You know, it's one of the belts, right? And then all of a sudden, my air conditioner just went out. It was working great, and all of a sudden, it blew hot air. This is a sign. This is a symptom. I'm not going to ignore it. So I took it to my trusted mechanic, who's a member again standing here at Trinity, and they looked at it, and it needed a water pump. He said, Carl, we averted a major catastrophe. He said, you got lucky. I'm thinking, praise God. I live under the blessing of the Lord. Now, those of you that are mechanics, you know, if the water pump goes out, you know, whatever, I mean, some bad stuff can happen. But when you hear something or you sense something before, the point of the story is before it becomes something major, how many know we need to check it out, right? Turn to your neighbor and say, we got to check it out. Come on, we got to. I didn't say check her out, single guy. I said check it out. Isaiah 1:18, God invites us. He said, come, let us settle this. Let's take care of this. God invites you to come, negotiate with him, plead your case. You may not like the answer, but it'll always be the best answer because God always has your best interest at heart. Let's settle this. In 1 Corinthians 6:2, you're going to be amazed at what this verse says. Don't you know that God's people will judge the world during the millennial reign of Christ? And if you are going to judge the world, can't you settle small problems? This verse is in a chapter where Paul is saying, Christian brother sues Christian brother, and we're going to the courts to settle these matters. Can't we come together? And with the wisdom of God, can we go to the city of Abel? And can we settle a matter? That's what this city was known for. It was a city known to settle a matter. This woman was wise because of her character. This woman was wise because of her counsel. She knew that this matter needed to be settled. This matter could be settled. It could be decided. You know, the word decide, it's interesting. It has the same partial etymology as the word homicide. The side in decide, the side in homicide or regicide or pesticide, it means to kill off. When you make a decision, you're determining something by killing off all the other choices. That's why I love that song we used to sing. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided, right? To follow Jesus. And then it goes, though none go with me, still I will follow. But I hope a lot go with me. But you know, you gotta decide. I've decided to follow Jesus. I've cut off all other options. Amen. This woman was a wise woman because of her character. This woman was a wise woman because of her counsel. This woman was a wise woman because she didn't lose her head. This woman was a wise woman because of finally her commitment. Verse 22 once again says, then the woman went to all the people with her wise advice. And what do? They cut off the head of Sheba, son of Bichri, and threw it over to Joab. So he sounded the trumpet, and his men dispersed from the city, each returning to his home, and Joab went back to the king in Jerusalem. Crisis averted. You know, there's an old saying, thinking well is wise. Planning well is wiser, but doing well is wisest. We got a lot of thinkers and a lot of planners, but thank God for the doers that know how to get it done. This woman knew how to get it done. she said, here are our options. Lose the city or offer up Sheba as a living sacrifice. Amen. She chose the latter. Why lose the city over one man? He was a rebel. He was a bad guy. Are there any Shebas in your life that you need to offer up to God? You know, there are some problems in life. You need to go to the source of that problem. And you need to chop off its head. I know this is not politically correct, but there are not many politically correct sermons in the Bible, because the Bible is a real book and it reaches real people living real lives in a real world. Are you with me? Amen. So here's a real problem. And the solution was one man had to die to save a city. You know, when it comes to compromise or sin in our life, we better be drastic. Jesus said, if your hand offends you, cut it off. Of course, not literally, but spiritually. If your eye offends you, pluck it out. Not literally, but spiritually. And we need to go to the source of our rebellion. We need to go to the source of our sin. And we need to chop its head off. To save our lives, to save our marriages, to save our souls, to save our families, to save our cities, and to save our country. This woman didn't compromise with the source of evil in her city or in her life. May more wise women rise up who will have an animosity and a hatred for the evil and the sin that's in our world. We cannot have sympathy for the devil. We cannot have sympathy for sin. We have to cut it off at the head. I like what Albert Einstein once said. He said, the world is a dangerous place to live. Not because of the people who are evil, but because of the people who don't do anything about the evil. Evil triumphs, I think Edmund Burke said, because good men, or in our story, good women are unwilling to rise up and do something about it. But thank God for this wise woman in 2 Samuel chapter 20. Thank God for her wisdom in her character, in her counsel, and ultimately in her commitment. How committed are you to stomp out evil, the evil child abuse, the evil of sex trafficking, the evil of abortion, the evil of the redefining of marriage the way God designed it in its holy union 6,000 years ago? What are we doing with the Shebas that have entered into our homes, have entered into our lives, have entered into our communities? Do we love the things that God loves? And do we hate the things that God hates? You say, well, God is love. Yes, but he's also a God of justice and a God of righteousness and a God of holiness. We must hold near and dear to our hearts the things that God loves, but hate the things that God hates. There's a prophecy about Jesus in Genesis 3:15. It's the first messianic prophecy in scriptures, and it said that Satan would bruise your heel, but that the Messiah would crush his head. You got to go to the source of evil. Yes, in the process of Jesus dying on the cross, his heel was wounded, but Satan's head, hallelujah, was crushed. Should a whole world die, or should one man die? In the story of the cross, instead of the whole world being plunged into hell, Jesus, God's Son, said, I'll go to the earth. I'll be born of a virgin. I'll live and I'll die on a cross and I'll give my life. One man willing to give his life to save the world. And because of that, oh, I love Romans 16:20. Romans 16:20 says, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Some of you, Satan has had his heyday in your family. He's had a heyday in your life. But I declare the spirit of wisdom is coming your way, calling out to you today, and you are about to crush Satan's head under your feet by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, can we thank him for his grace, his amazing grace? Can we thank him for his mercies, which are new every morning? Can we thank him for his power? And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty and there is freedom. And whom the Son sets free, be free indeed. Walk in that freedom in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we humbly come before you today. We thank you for the story of a wise woman. She was wise because of her character. Thank you for women. The sound of my voice today that are choosing to be women of character. She was a woman of wise counsel. Thank you for every woman in the sound of my voice choosing to be a woman of wise counsel. And she was a wise woman because of her commitment. Thank you for every woman in the sound of my voice today choosing to be a wise woman because of her commitment to love what God loves, to hate what God hates. Heads bowed and eyes closed if you're here today. And you need to rededicate your life to Christ. You're not where you need to be in your relationship with Jesus. You're not here by accident. The Lord is here. The Father with open arms is ready to receive you back home, prodigal son, prodigal daughter. You've been away far too long. There's a celebration that's about to take place because you're coming home. If you're here today and you've never surrendered your life over to Jesus, what are you waiting for? The hour is late. The time is short. Today is the day of salvation. Jesus is standing at the door of your heart, knocking, wanting you to be saved, to become a part of his eternal kingdom. But only you can open up the door of your heart. Will you do that today? As the Spirit of God draws you and leads you, will you humble yourself, repent of your sin, and surrender your life to Jesus? Heads bowed and eyes closed, if that's you on both accounts, I want you to pray this prayer out loud with the rest of us. Say it with your own mouth, mean it from your own heart. Dear God in heaven, I know I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. There's only one Savior. His name is Jesus. I call upon you, Jesus. I ask you now, come into my heart, come into my life. Be my Lord and be my Savior. I turn from sin to the true and living God. I receive his love, his grace, and his forgiveness. Dear God in heaven, you're now my Father, and I am your child. Fill me now with the Holy Spirit and give me strength to live for you and serve you all the days of my life, beginning today for the rest of eternity. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Can we thank the Lord together?